Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hockman and Crowder simulcast is underway, and it's going to be an abbreviated simulcast today. I'll give you the specifics here in a moment. Zach Duarte filling in for Channing Crowder today. Channing Crowder will begin the Dolphins pregame show in just about 1 hour on 560 The Joe. They'll take you all the way up till kickoff tonight. 3 o'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder is sponsored by Kubota. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done right. Dig, mow, and haul. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. Find a Kubota dealer near you at gokubota.com. Before we get underway here from Twin Peaks and Davie, let me give everybody the code word for this hour, your chance at winning $1,000. Code word this hour is TRACK, T-R-A-C-K. Text the word TRACK right now to 72881. You have a chance to win $1,000. This is the final week of this promotion for a while, so get in on the winning. Text the word TRACK to 72881. You could win $1,000 of Channing's Change. Your next chance to win will be around 4 o'clock. It's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Zach Duarte is with me here at Twin Peaks in Davie today. Like I said, Crowder will have the pregame show duties in about 1 hour. You got Dolphins Monday Night Football tonight. In about 15 minutes, we'll check in with Adam Beasley, who's in Pittsburgh covering the Dolphins for the Miami Herald, and we will see how things are going out there in Pittsburgh. And this hour of the show is brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Kenyon Drake was traded, and we'll get to that in the headlines. But we do have some sound of I said earlier in the show, if you were listening to us in the Loco Hour, is that the most memorable Dolphins moment in the last 10 years, Zach? The Kenyon Drake Miami Miracle.
I'm guessing that Greg Camarillo catches out of the
I think that's out of the
jurisdiction.
Because that was 2008 or 7. 2007, so that's over 10 years. Yeah, would the Miami Miracle, which I believe was the Dolphins' last victory too, The Miami Miracle, is that the greatest moment in the Dolphins' last decade? From 2009, I mean, this is, again.
Now we need to make a list.
Great moment.
What are the great moments?
And I'm not diminishing the moment, but there's been few and far between. Can you think of one, Solana?
I can think of the Cam Wake sack. I think it was overtime. That was a safety.
as the best moment in Dolphins history.
I'm putting a list together.
It'd be hard to make a Mount Rushmore
on this. Putting a list.
Solana, can you think of one?
I can't think of any. I will say that the failed two-point conversion against Washington could end up being one of the greatest moments in Dolphins history to surpass that.
You know what? I think you're right. I think we need to we need to get all kinds of highlights on that one as well. Because here's what we did for the Kenyon Drake one. People love this. So Kenyon Drake, no longer a member of the Miami Dolphins, but will always be responsible, or at least partly responsible, for the Miami Miracle, which was the victory over the New England Patriots. Patriots were in a terrible defense. Rob Gronkowski shouldn't have been out on the field. You know, they weren't throwing a bomb into the end zone. They were obviously going to do a hook and ladder roll, however you want to call it. And anyway, here are, so we can celebrate, Kenyon Drake's down to Arizona, by the way. Here are some sounds that we can celebrate Kenyon Drake's tenure with the Miami Dolphins. First, the Miami Miracle as heard on 560 WQAM.
Tannehill, last shot. Back to throw.
Jimmy Cephalo's so depressed.
They try to pitch it, and they do. to Parker. Parker pitches it. And it's Drake. Drake! 30, 20. Gronkowski's got a tackle.
Oh,
that's
no
it. He
no
got
way.
It in the end
no
zone.
Way.
Touchdown.
Way. The Dolphins win it.
Unbelievable.
Are you kidding me? That is unbelievable.
I don't believe what I just saw.
Nobody really paints a picture on the radio quite like Jimmy Cephalo. Here's how it sounded on the New England Patriots radio network.
Tannehill for the Dolphins survey. What he sees in front of him, a field of defensive backs and a hawking tight end who stands at the 15-yard line. Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills, laterals back to Butler, or rather Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England, angling inside to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the foot race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it on the lateral. Once, then twice, and Drake takes it in, and the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
I think I got more chills listening to that call than I heard I did Cephalo's.
Oh, Jesus.
Here's out. Oh, Jesus is a great. I mean, that is a great addition to that call. Oh, Jesus. Here's how it sounded on TV that day.
10 seconds left. Tannehill will throw it, and this will end it after the shovel, or will it? Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle! Miraculous in Miami! Stills to Parker to Drake. A lateral heard round the world.
That really was.
I have to do a lot of picture painting on that call.
Well, TV call, obviously, you want to let it play out. But it really, like, I think I forgot how great that moment was. Now that I'm listening to it again, I really am getting the chills. Like, that was such a great moment. So what happened was on this show, we've always noticed that the Spanish radio call is always the most exciting and it's always the best. Unfortunately, we didn't have one for this week. And so Eric Falero, who was our producer at the time, he didn't want to tell me that he couldn't find the Spanish radio call, so he went into the studio and recorded one himself, thinking I wouldn't notice, but I kind of did. But here's how it sounded anyway.
7 segundos dejaron. Tannehill lo lanzará, y esto lo termina después de la palabra. O lo hará. Miami corriendo alrededor, circulando. Oh, cuidado. Gronkowski no tuve angulo.
Oh, with the Titanic music.
Aterrizaje. Oh, Kenyon Drake. Un milagro.
Cerca o lejos, donde quiera que estás.
Oh, wait a second. This needs a little more setup, Solana. Hold on. This needs a little more setup because we got ahead of ourselves there. I didn't realize that was the Spanish language Titanic call. So this needs a little bit more setup. We have found that you put the Titanic music behind anything, it makes it tremendously more exciting.
I don't think you guys discovered that. That's an internet thing.
So here is that call. Here's the WQAM radio call with the Titanic music.
Last shot, back to throw. They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do to Parker. Parker pitches it. And it's Drake! Drake! 30! 20! Gronkowski's got a tackle! Oh, that way!
There's nothing I fear.
So great. Now, when you hear that, you get a little more context on the Spanish language call. Here is the Spanish language call with Eric Falero playing the role of the Spanish language broadcaster and Channing Crowder playing the role of the Spanish Celine Dion.
7 segundos dejaron. Tannehill lo lanzará y esto lo termina después de la palabra. O lo hará. Miami corriendo alrededor, circulando. Oh, cuidado. Gronkowski no tuve angulo. Aterrizaje. Oh, Kenyon Drake. Un milagro.
Cerca. Olé. Donde quiera que estás.
Rosal. There you go. All right. Brings a little tear to everybody's eye. Corazon is a very gringo pronunciation of corazon. Very nice. Let's get headlines here with Alejandro Solana before we move ahead.
Headlines are brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. I was with Crowder back here, and we were dying. I'm sorry. We were having a great time.
It's one of his better performances musically, no doubt.
Well, he's saying why he was distracted. He was listening to Crowder instead of you.
No, I got it.
The Panthers are back on the road tonight. They play Vancouver. That's at 10 p.m. It'll be on 790 The Ticket because, of course, tonight, Monday Night Football, it's the Dolphins in Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. That's at 8:15 on your home for the Miami Dolphins, 560 The Joe, WQAM.
Very nice. Anything else?
Yes, sir. Tomorrow, the Miami Heat will host the Atlanta Hawks. That's at 7:30 from the AAA. Tonight in the NBA, though, Chris Paul makes his return to Houston, and Russell Westbrook faces the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's the first time those two will play their former teams.
All right. What else?
LSU's the new number one ranked team in college football after their win over Auburn on Saturday. And, of course, it is FSU week. 3:30 p.m. on Saturday, the Canes will play FSU. FSU is favored by 5.5 points.
Yeah, I'm looking to see if that has changed at all. Line for the Dolphins game tonight is still 14. The Florida-Georgia game, Georgia's a 4.5-point favorite. That's in Gainesville. And, yeah, Miami is plus 4.5 in Tallahassee. So there you go. Anything else, Solana?
Yeah, I know we were talking about Adam Gase earlier. So the Jets did fall to 1-6. Our buddy Manish Mehta, he called Adam Gase's Jets a disgrace to professional football.
I was showing my friend today Manish Mehta's Twitter timeline because it starts with Adam Gase when they first hired him as this is an inspired hire and this is the Jets getting it right, and it has come to that now, a disgrace to football. He hates him. And we'll have him on this week for Dolphins Jets leading up to it. Anything else, Solana?
Yeah, guys. And finally, the mayor of Monk's Corner, South Carolina, just got sued by a guy who was the umpire for the mayor's rec league adult kickball game. So it looks like the umpire says the mayor got him fired from his job after a close call went against the mayor's team.
You know, kickball can be very important at times. And when you wield the kind of power the mayor does in what city is that?
Monk's Corner, South Carolina.
Yeah, when you wield the kind of power the mayor does in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, you know, heads will roll sometimes.
What's the population? What's your best guess at the population?
I'm going to go 2,300.
Monk's Corner?
Yeah.
We're going to have Solana look that up.
I'm going to say 2,300. All right, you got weather, Solana?
Yeah, weather's brought to you by Hialeah Park. Right now in South Florida, it is partly cloudy, 86 degrees currently. Tonight, the low will drop to 79. Join us for Breeders' Cup weekend at Champions at Hialeah Park, Miami's most beautiful simulcasting center. Watch and wager in air-conditioned comfort at the original Champions. That's Champions at Hialeah Park.
7,900.
7,900. Yeah, that's a very small city right there.
Close.
Monk's Corner is a town in the county seat of Berkeley County, South Carolina.
Yeah, that didn't help anybody know where that is.
County seat. Anytime they use county seat, you know that it's a small little city.
What the hell is a county seat?
Exactly my point. A county seat.
What is the county seat of Broward County?
There is no county seat in Broward County because we're not Monk's Corner. We're not a town. We're not a tiny little county seat in South Carolina.
A county seat is an administrative center.
In the next segment, Adam Beasley is going to join us. Adam Beasley covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. He is in Pittsburgh getting ready for tonight's Steelers-Dolphins Monday night matchup, the matchup that nobody wanted. It's tonight around 8:20, and we're going to talk with Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald next on Hockman and Crowder. We are live at Twin Peaks in Davie. It's a Man Cave Monday. Celebrate a Hurricanes victory on Saturday. Look ahead towards tonight's Dolphins-Steelers game on Monday Night Football. And Twin Peaks, obviously, always here for your food and drink needs. University Drive, right in Davie. 3 o'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder, sponsored by Kubota. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done right. Dig, mow, and haul. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. Find a Kubota dealer near you at gokubota.com. Zach Duarte is here. He is filling in for Channing Crowder. Channing Crowder will be on the air in about 35 minutes. Get you ready for the Dolphins game on the Dolphins pregame show on 560 The Joe. Now, Adam Beasley is in Pittsburgh. He's covering the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald, and it's the Monday night matchup that nobody wanted, and Adam Beasley is with us now. Hello, Bees.
I wonder, guys, who more people will watch what game, tonight or tomorrow's baseball game?
Well, I thought you were going to ask tonight or the Panthers game tonight. More homes in South Florida tuned to the Panthers game tonight or Monday Night Football.
We know the answer to that one.
This will be one of the – yeah, unfortunately we do. This will be one of those nights, I think, if you look at the ratings like quarter hour by quarter hour, it just – you know, it'll start out fine like a Monday Night Football game does, and then I think the interest level will wane fairly quickly unless it turns out to be some sort of – banger of a game that that none of us are expecting. But what are you expecting, Bees? You're up there in Pittsburgh, and Dolphins started to play a little bit better football. I'm grading on a curve here. You thinking that there might be some sort of upset tonight?
I can say this with great conviction. We'll see a lot of Mark Walton tonight. We won't see any of Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, that is true.
Drake's been traded, as I'm sure you've reported many times in the last couple hours, to the Arizona Cardinals for some third-day draft consideration. And I think it's a long time coming, so we get to see Mark Walton unleashed, I guess, for the last half of the season, and he's going to have a real chance to make a claim for the number one running back job, not just this year and beyond. It's wild, guys. The Dolphins obviously out of it. They're not going to make the playoffs. We knew they weren't going to be real competitive this year, and they're now 7 full games back of the Patriots. It went 8-0 yesterday, 7.5 if they lose today. So all along, the season's been about the future, but it's really about the future now that there's no even real consideration of doing anything this year. And so we're going to see a bunch of young guys, and I'm excited to see how the Mark Waltons of the world continue to develop, because we all talked, I don't know, maybe 2-3 months ago going into the season, it's about finding building blocks for the future. And a funny thing happened on the way to the end of the regular season. The potential building blocks have changed. I don't think anyone was really talking about Mark Walton as cornerstone piece is too strong of a phrase, but certainly an important piece of this team going forward. No one was talking about Evan Dame, who has been maybe one of their best, certainly one of their best, maybe their best offensive lineman over the last couple of weeks going forward. He was just picked up in a trade for throwaway draft picks. Same with a guy with like Vince Beagle, who was buried in New Orleans, and we were all kind of scratching our head when he was the compensation for Kiko Alonso. And in the 6-7 games that both players have played for their new teams, Beagle's had a bigger impact on his team than Alonso has had on his. So we have found some of these building blocks. They just aren't the names that we expected going into the season.
Mark Walton, though, you mentioned at the beginning there, Mark Walton, I think, has been the biggest upside surprise of anyone on the roster. Would you agree with that?
Maybe Preston Williams, but certainly one, too. It's crazy. Those two combined are making $1 million this year. I mean, wow. The NFL is nuts. $1 million for those two combined, and they're two of their best 4 or 5 offensive players. So now is this just – I mean, you have in the NBA, every team is going to have a 22-point scorer just at default because they need someone to take the shots. Doesn't mean they're a good player. Doesn't mean they're efficient. Are the numbers that Williams and Walton putting up, are they the default numbers? Are they the replacement-level numbers for that position, or are they really good? Are they going to get better? I think Preston Williams' upside's huge. He was one of the most talented players in college football, and then he had his red flags and went undrafted. I think he can be a number two, maybe even a number one receiver for this team going forward. Walton, I'm a little bit more hesitant. I think he's a solid player. I think he's going to help this team. I think they're going to look to upgrade at that position this offseason. But, yeah, I mean, you want to be able to emerge from this dumpster fire of a season with some, you know, threads of hope to grab onto. And I think if you look at some of their young players, particularly on offense, you can be encouraged by what they put together. They're not going to win tonight. They're 14-point underdogs, and I think Pittsburgh covers. I think that that defense is really good for the Steelers, and Mason Rudolph's back. So I think that's going to be too much for Miami to overcome. But I don't think at the end of the year we're going to look back and say, man, this was just an embarrassing team like the first 2 weeks kind of predicted. I think you're going to see improvement, a winner game or two. They're going to be bad. They're going to probably be the worst team in the NFL. But I think you can kind of feel kind of good, maybe, at least a little bit good about how the direction of the team is. And I know in this offseason it's make or break for pretty much everybody in that building.
Beasley, what's going on? It was announced yesterday that Kenyon Drake was not traveling with the team. And I saw that you and Salguero and Jackson had reported that a trade was agreed to in principle. Was that with Arizona, or did that come about after the game with the Cardinals where Chase Edmonds gets hurt and they have a game coming up on Thursday night?
I think it was all the same deal. From my understanding, is that was the deal that was in place. And look, it makes sense that the Dolphins don't want to bring Kenyon Drake here. Certainly the Cardinals wouldn't want him to play, because it's a really quick turnaround from a Monday night in Pittsburgh to a Thursday night, which the Cardinals have a Thursday night game. Drake would not have been available in any circumstance to play 3 days later. I mean, I don't think the NFL would allow that. Talk about player safety. That's been the fastest turnaround, I think, in NFL history, to play three games after your previous game. They wouldn't allow that. So every step that we've seen along the way suggests to me that the Cardinals were the team that we had heard the deal was done with. And it just took them getting through their game last night for this to become official. And I think it's a good opportunity for them. I mean, it's funny with Kenyon Drake. I think the hype among the fan base, and certainly some of the hosts of this radio show, and I'm not talking about Mark Hoffman, have always been greater than the reality when it comes to Kenyon Drake. But he's going to have an opportunity in Arizona over the next couple of weeks to carry the football and be a part of what should be a wide open offense. They're going to do some things there that they can't do here, particularly with, you know, the quarterback position and getting guys open in space and all that. And that kind of plays into Drake's strengths. But again, I will say this, and maybe hopefully I'll pray this is the last time we'll ever have to discuss this Duarte, because we'll talk about beating a dead horse even better. But if he was ever going to be this number one beast running back that a lot of people in this town envision for him, it would have happened by now. If he can't beat out Mark Walton and Kalen Ballage this year with these circumstances and get a ton of carries, there's a reason. The coaching staff has a lot more information on these guys than we do. And so I think you're going to see in 2-3 years, Drake's going to be a nice player, a guy that was going to flash from time to time because he has that explosive speed, but he's never going to be a guy that runs for 1,500 yards and has 11 touchdowns.
Well, first, before I ask you my next question, I'm going to rebuttal you there real quickly, because giving the ball to Kalen Ballage was a great game plan at the beginning of the season. That was a really, really good game plan by Brian Flores and Chad O'Shea there. But nonetheless, do you think the Dolphins are done dealing here, or do they feature a guy maybe like Devontae Parker tonight, throw him a few more passes to maybe increase his trade value, or are they done because the trade deadline is tomorrow?
Yeah, Rosenhaus was on Channel 7, I think, last night. I didn't see it. I just heard about it, saying he believes that Drake is the last trade that the Dolphins will make this season. And Devontae wouldn't be a guy that would be obvious for them to trade because he's kind of cheap and he's under contract next year, and he seems to me to be an ascending player, right? I mean, he is better this year than he was his first three seasons. And so if you have him under contract next year at a discount, why would you want to give up that asset? I mean, I guess if someone came in and blew you away and give you a second-round pick for the guy, maybe you consider it. But I don't know why Devontae Parker, as crazy as it sounds now, not that he's untradeable because everyone in this roster is tradable, but he's got more value certainly in the long term, certainly in 2020, than Kenyon Drake did, who was not under contract next year, who had rebuffed contract extension talks earlier this season, clearly wanted out of this team, was quiet about it, wasn't a cancer about it. I mean, you have to give him credit there. He didn't make huge waves publicly, but it was no inside the building, and he's been unhappy for a year and a half on this team. He wasn't going to come back next year, and so that makes sense. I know a lot of people have been crushing the Dolphins for the value they got back for Drake, and it doesn't look great on paper. Maybe a fifth, probably a sixth. But you have to understand a couple of things. One, running backs are way deeper. Even with some of these big names that were out there, by and large, they think running backs are plug-and-play, replaceable players. And two, he's never been that featured back, and he's not under a contract next year. So what did people think they were going to get? Did they think they were going to get a second-day pick for the guy? Maybe a fourth would have been nice, but a late fifth, early sixth, something in that range is about what he's worth with eight games left on his contract. And I think the Dolphins got basically maximum value for a guy that's – again, a nice player, is probably a little overhyped in this town, but a player that Arizona sees as an 8-week rental, if he plays well, maybe they keep him next year, but it's certainly, they see him as a short-term help to keep that team afloat.
No, I absolutely agree with you on the trade value. I think that they got the best that they could do, but do we happen to know the conditions on that draft pick, or that's kept under wraps for now?
I'm sure it's playing time based, right? Since I'm sure it's like an incentive based contract. If he's on the field for X number of snaps and scores X number of touchdowns, and it becomes a fifth round pick. I haven't seen it out the next day or two, but that's my guess. Usually that's how it goes. If a guy becomes a star for a team, then you get that extra round pick back. But even still, there's not real much functional difference between a fifth and a sixth round pick. They're both basically lottery tickets, and you hope one pans out as a good special teams player.
Adam Beasley covers Dolphins for the Miami Herald. He is in Pittsburgh. You got a Monday night matchup of epic proportion tonight, or not. It depends how you characterize epic. There are, though, be some legit disasters in the NFL this season, not named the Miami Dolphins. See, I think the Dolphins are ahead of the curve because this season is purposeful. The Jets, who I am taking such unbelievably great pleasure in watching them implode, the Jets are the Dolphins' next opponent after tonight's game. They're a complete disaster. Do you think Adam Gase makes it more than one season in New York?
Oh, B's just dropped, guys. Let me call him right back.
All right. I'll ask Guy.
I was really looking forward to his answer to that because he's buddy-buddy with Adam Gase.
Yeah, but I think you have to be realistic on it. And New York media is harder than any other media entity in the nation, and they've already, and by the way, deservedly so. Like, they've run their course with Adam Gase. It's not unfair. Like, he's been zero of what was promised to them.
No, but he's also, he's like, there are situations in the press conferences where he can be, like, kind of off-putting.
Absolutely.
You know, and like, last week, Manish.
He doesn't do himself any favors.
Manish was asking him questions about Kelechi Osemele. He's like, oh, I don't talk to him. He's like, what do you mean you don't talk to
right,
him? That's
right.
That's one of your players.
No, it's off-putting was the perfect term to describe him, but he was that way down here. But Adam Beasley's back. But, Bees, I was just pretty much asking, you think Adam Gase could be a one-and-done in New York?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, no question. If they have information that they don't believe Sam Darnold is their quarterback of the future, they're not going to let Gase pick the new guy, right? I mean, if Gase comes in and so screws the pooch so much with this team this year and goes 2-14 in their position to take the top quarterback next year, who in their right mind would trust Adam Gase to do that after his track record over the last 5 years, 4 years? So, no, I think there's a very real chance that he's coaching for his job over the last half of the season, and they're shedding talent at this point. They're trading guys. I know they made another big trade today. Their quarterback is just in time for Halloween, sees more ghosts than poltergeist. I mean, it's bad news there. And the funny thing is this, guys, when Gase was fired, one of the justifications was, well, he didn't want to go through what the Dolphins are going through this year and losing. And I would argue, based on the contracts that are on the books in New York and where they're going to stand when the season's over in draft order, the Dolphins will be a more compelling, enticing job than New York will be, just because of the resources Miami will have and the salary cap space and all that. So, yeah, he is in very real danger of not being the coach of the New York Jets next year. And it's kind of sad, because if not, he's not going to get a third chance. If he does, it'll be 10, 15 years from now.
Right. That would be a spectacular flameout. But has he been exposed, or do you give this season context?
Well, Duarte is going to call me an apologist here. So, I mean, I think,
I just did it when you weren't on the line there.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how he does with Darnold. If they're completely inept on offense the rest of the season, I think he has been. I think we would have seen that what he did with the Hall of Fame quarterback is not what you can do with a B-plus quarterback, if that's what you think Darnold is. And he lived high off the hog off the Peyton Manning a resume, and it's kind of sad, because again, I like Adam. I think he's a smart guy, but it ain't working right now, and it doesn't start working soon. They're not. How can you sell your fan base another year of Adam Gase and Sam Darnold? They go 2-14, 3-13 this year. It's just not going to happen. And things happen a lot faster in a market like New York, because you got the Manish Mehta's of the world raining holy hell down on them. So,
and he had him at the beginning of the season. He had Manish on his side at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, you know what happened. I think certain decisions were made in that organization that angered Manish and may have hurt him from a professional standpoint, and there's been retribution on major scale. So,
because he has become one of the their biggest detractors after being one of the hires' biggest defenders.
He'll even recycle old Dolphin storylines that aren't new to us, but the people in New York, oh, and look at this. He didn't even want Darnold. He wanted Baker Mayfield. And we're all sitting back thinking, yeah, I mean, we knew this 2 years ago, bro. But that's right. Cool. But no, he is going to – one of those two is going to win that ballot throw. If Gase is going to be a success in New York and Manish is going to be a bit sidelined, or Manish is going to win and they're going to have a new head coach in 4 months.
I like that. It's a power battle between Manish Mehta and Adam Gase. Now I'm even more invested in what's going on with the Jets.
You remember Manish is the same guy that feuded with Chris Christie, right? I mean, Chris Christie called him a complete and utter moron on the air once. I mean, Manish is fearless. So he'll stand up to anybody, and he doesn't care what enemies he makes, but sometimes it gets a little messy, and I think we're seeing that play out right now in New York.
Kind of makes me want to play one of our best of segments where I channeled my inner Chris Christie when he was filling in on the Fan, and he would just any caller he disagreed with, he would call a communist and hang up on them. I'm like, well, that's a real easy trick. quickly, though, we talked about plenty of bad stuff in the NFL, the Dolphins and the Jets there. On the flip side, there are some teams that are scary good, or at least have looked scary good through 7 or 8 games. Like, can New England be beat, in your opinion?
Oh, sure. Anybody can be beat. I mean, their defense is really, really good. I still don't know how good their offense is. They're scoring a ton of points, but even Brady doesn't have a ton of confidence. Be beat. Someone will beat them. I mean, has that Kansas City game happened yet? I think the Chiefs, if they get Mahomes back, could give them a scare.
That's the thing, though. They need to get Mahomes back. But even Kansas City was...
I think even on some level, as much as Belichick would like, because he is obsessed with one-upping Shula. I mean, he hates the Jets, and he wants to be known as the best coach of all time, you know, no holds barred. And he wants to get the record 347 or whatever and beat Shula in that regard, and he wants to have the undefeated.
We lost him again, guys.
Sounds like we lost him again. All right, That's all right. We were going long anyway there. That's Adam Beasley, covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. He's up in Pittsburgh. He was on his cell phone. That's why we had a couple of connection problems there. Zach Duarte and I are at Twin Peaks in Davie. We'll be here till 6 o'clock tonight, getting you ready for Dolphins Monday night football game. We talk about the cheetah here. It is the spookiest time of year. Forget about spending another year handing out candy at home. There is a much better option to make the most of Halloween night, which is Thursday night. Cheetah Gentlemen's Clubs will be putting a decidedly sexy spin on the scariest day of the year. Enjoy a frighteningly seductive night out with their lineup of sweet and sultry adult entertainers. You can hang out at the Cheetah for their freaky Fright Night Halloween bash. It is this Thursday. Come in costume. They're going to have a costume contest, drink specials, buffet, much, much more. Make your Halloween plans for Thursday at the Cheetah. I remind you every day, make Cheetah Hallandale your free lunch hotspot. You don't need to pay for lunch with an unpleasant view. You can enjoy a gourmet lunch menu for free every day, 11:30 till 3, happy hour until 6. In the biz, guests, this is tonight. You can enjoy 25% off your entire bar tab, $100 bottle specials, free admission, and more Sundays through Tuesdays. So that is tonight at the Cheetah. And again, beer babes, lots of football action. Cheetah Hallandale, their ultra high-tech sports lounge, perfect for Monday night football tonight. This is a sports lounge you'll never want to leave. Enjoy all the games with hundreds of beautiful, exotic referee and cheerleader adult entertainers, leather couch seating, HD TVs, and projector screens. Enjoy Corona, Bud, and Modelo specials as well. It's Monday night football tonight at the Cheetah. If you want more details, check out their website at CheetahSOFL.com. We got to take a quick break here from Twin Peaks in Davie, and then we'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder. 3 o'clock hour of Hockman and Crowder, sponsored by Kubota. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done right. Dig, mow, and haul. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. Find a Kubota dealer near you at GoKubota.com. It is a Monday night football game for the Dolphins tonight against the Steelers. Dolphins are a 14-point underdog. So here is the schedule for the afternoon if you're playing along at home. Zach Duarte is with me sitting in for Channing Crowder. Channing Crowder is back in the studios in El Portal. Zach and I are here at Twin Peaks in Davie on University Drive. So the schedule is this. At 4 o'clock, the Miami Dolphins pregame show with Chris Whittingham and Channing Crowder will begin on 560 The Joe, which means we will end our simulcast after just 1 hour this afternoon. And then Zach Duarte and I will take you up until 6 o'clock here, but we will be exclusively on AM 790 and FM 104.3 HD2, The Ticket. So there's your listening pleasure. You get Dolphins pregame show, followed by the Dolphins game, and then the Dolphins postgame show tonight with Zach Duarte and Troy Stratford, and that's all on 560 The Joe. And then tonight on 790 The Ticket, you are going to get from 4 till 6, me and Zach, and then starting, when's the puck drop tonight for the Panthers game, Solana?
10 p.m.
10 p.m. Oh, I didn't even realize they're on the West Coast. So 10 o'clock tonight, you're going to get Florida Panthers hockey on 790. So, and you won't even be into the postgame show yet.
I'm going to have to get a coffee, but I don't trust that Dunkin' Donuts will be open.
So. Yeah, no, you got to get a coffee tonight. You got a long one tonight because the Dolphins game will end, what, 8:30, 9:30? And they're 11, about 11:30, 12 o'clock, a little
are
after
you,
12.
Are you getting my Dunkin' Donuts reference, or is this going over your head?
No, why?
Okay, it's going over your head. Solana, are you getting this Dunkin' Donuts reference?
Yes, I got it.
Okay.
What is it?
I got into a huge tiff with Dunkin' Donuts on Christmas.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Why is that?
Because I went, I was doing a show on Christmas, because I've worked every Christmas ever, even since you were program director. So I've always worked Christmas. No big. I'm not Jewish. It's just a holiday. It's just whatever. I'm going to work. No big deal. My mom was a nurse. My dad was a firefighter. We've always worked
Christmas.
Used
to working holiday shifts.
Or just not being with the family on that day. I go into the show at 1 o'clock. I'm doing a show with Beast, and he asked me to go get a coffee at Dunkin' Donuts. So I go on the app. It says it's open till 1 p.m. I say, okay. I swing by the Dunkin' Donuts that was by the old radio station. I think it was on Miramar Parkway. It was a drive-thru. It was closed at 12:30. No problem. Dead closed. Nobody inside. Pitch black. Cool. No problem. I'll go to the one down south. That was by 560, right on 441. Get there at 12:55. People inside, but the door's locked. There's a sticker on the door that says, we are open till 1 p.m. on Christmas. And so I'm waiting outside. Said, I got to get out. And eventually it just turned into this whole Twitter beef where about a million people retweeted me how much of a tool I was on Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of Christmas. I mean,
I don't care. You're open till 1.
It's Christmas.
I don't care. Like,
yeah. I'm not going to take Duarte's side on this, well, Solana.
You don't work Christmas, so you don't know.
I've worked plenty of Christmases in my life when I first started.
And now you sit back with your feet up.
You're not kidding. I absolutely do.
You're not wrong for not taking a side, and it's weird he keeps bringing this up. I feel like this is one you'd want to forget about, Zach.
No, I don't want to forget about it.
Yeah, you've got to take the L on this one,
I'm not
buddy.
Going to. I will never back down from that stance. The tweet still stands to this day.
All right, the simulcast is going to be over. So, again, if you want to listen to me and Duarte, 790 The Ticket. You want to listen to the Dolphins pregame show, that'll be on 560 The Joe beginning in just about 6 or 7 minutes. All right, so we'll take a quick break here. Again, Chris Whittingham, Channing Crowder coming up on 560 The Joe with the Dolphins pregame show. 2 more hours of Hockman and Duarte on 790 The Ticket next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.